Acts chapter 9. This is the most dramatic conversion in the New Testament. Acts 9 is the account of the Apostle Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus. He had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. Let's read it here in Acts 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. That Damascus Road experience is the kind of experience that, we just need to pray. Lord, let there be right here in our church, let this be a Damascus Road. Let this be a place where lives are changed, where eternity is changed, and that we could be a church where people could have an encounter with the Lord Jesus, just like Saul did on the road to Damascus. Everybody needs an encounter with Jesus. Everybody needs an encounter with the Lord. And we heard some of that tonight from different ones, because when you meet the Lord, then things will change. The word repentance comes from a Greek word, metanoia, and it just means to change your direction, to turn around, or to change your mind, to make an about face. And let me tell you, people are on a road of destruction. They're on a road of hopelessness in their sin, and they need to make a turnaround. And the only thing that can accomplish that is an encounter with the Lord. Our prayer should be, Lord, make this place, this sanctuary, a place where your presence is so real and so mighty that when people come into this place and enter into the service, that they have an encounter with the Lord himself. They have an encounter with Jesus. Amen. And their life is turned around. We mentioned that dramatic story of Nikki Cruz the other night. Some of the part my wife said later, she said, I had never heard all that stuff before, about his demon-possessed mother who was a witch and all of that. And I'd heard another preacher talking about Nikki Cruz's experience, some of his experiences, and I thought, I need to look into that. So I just researched it and found all these terrible things that went on in his childhood and the kind of horrible life that he lived. And all it took was one encounter with the gospel. One encounter with the gospel on the streets of New York City, and someone that cared enough about the lost to share the gospel and to sacrifice and to give the gospel to people. Sometimes, as it's already been illustrated tonight, most of us don't stand behind a pulpit, but we have a pulpit in a sense. You have a place where the Lord puts you and places you and gives you opportunity and open doors, and we need to be willing to speak and to change. Now, that encounter that Saul had with Jesus, that was that Damascus Road experience, is the kind of thing that needs to take place right here every week, week after week after week. But the first thing that happened was there was a divine interruption. I mean, he had authority to go to Damascus. He had the determination to go to Damascus and to keep doing all the destruction against the church that he had been doing. But he needed a divine interruption. Amen. And a lot of people need that to happen in their life. I mean, they are moving so fast away from the things of God. They need God's presence to stop them and to interrupt them in the direction that they're following. Amen. To stop them. And so that's what it was at first. It was as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there's a light that shines from heaven. So there's a divine interruption and stops him from the direction that he's following. And then there's a light that shines from heaven. You know, light is really important. Light illuminates. Light exposes. When the light of the Spirit of God turns on the life of a person, then their sin is exposed, and their life, their heart is exposed. Everything is illuminated, and they see themselves for who they are. Amen. And that's what the light of the gospel does. Amen. So there's this divine interruption, and then there is the light. That's what we desperately need, is the light of the power of God, the Spirit of God, the Word of God to shine forth in our lives, in our church services. And then he fell. The Bible says he fell to the ground. I don't know. When I was going through this, I was just thinking of those Jonathan Edwards stories of what happened whenever Jonathan Edwards would preach in that revival, that early revival in New England, that when he preached, that people would fall in the aisles. They would fall down at their seat. They would grip the backs of the pews and fall under conviction. Amen. If we have a Damascus Road type experience going on here in our church, then God is going to interrupt people's lives. He's going to shine his light upon them and expose the sin of their life. And then he's going to send conviction. They're going to fall under the convicting power of the Spirit of God. This was really his physical response to the presence of God. He couldn't stay upright. He just fell. I've heard people tell it and say, well, he fell off his horse, and maybe he did, but it just says he fell to the ground. So whether he was riding or walking, something that happened to him, this encounter was so powerful that his physical response to this encounter with Jesus was he fell to the ground. Amen. Amen. I have witnessed that over the years. I have seen people so under conviction, so miserable, that they would cry and weep all through a service. And some of you would not see it, but from my perspective here, looking out, I would see people. I've seen it many times. People just crying and wiping tears all through a service. And it was the Spirit of God dealing with them and talking to them. Amen. So if our church is like a Damascus Road type experience, all these things are going to be a part of it. Amen. The spirit of conviction is going to fall on the lives of people in our services. And then the Lord spoke. There's the voice of the Lord. And honestly, I've never heard the voice of the Lord audibly, but oh, how many times have we heard the voice of the Lord speaking to us in that quiet, still voice within our own spirit. His spirit to our spirit. I'm not saying that he can't speak or that he won't speak in an audible voice. He can if he so chooses to, but he still speaks. And I believe that that's a part of the process of people coming to the Lord. God dealing with them and revealing their sin and God speaking to them. I'm your hope. I'm your salvation. I'm the answer. Put your faith and your trust in me, the voice of the Lord. Amen. All these things that took place. And then he begins to respond himself with questions. Two questions. The first one is, who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord? Now that's a lifelong endeavor. We are learning and will continue to learn till the end of our life more and more and more and more about the Lord. Amen. Amen. But when you come to the Lord and you have that encounter with the Lord, then you begin to be interested in wanting to know. I want to know more about him. I want to know the Lord. Who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. He was using that example, example of the animal that would kick against the prodding of the sharp object pricking them. And that's what had been going on in Saul's life for a good while. He had been resisting the voice of the Spirit of God. But there's no resisting now because he's overwhelmed by this glorious encounter on the road to Damascus. It's hard for you to keep kicking against the pricks, Saul. You're going to have to turn around. You're going to have to turn around. Who art thou, Lord? Learning who Jesus is. Amen. An encounter with the Lord. The apostle there in Hebrews 11 says it's impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Must believe that he is. That's a whole part of the process of this convicting work of the Spirit of God. Convincing men that Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God. And he's the only Savior of the world. There's no other hope, no other religious idea, no other religious figure in history. No one else that they can look to. They have to look to Jesus. Amen. They have to look to the Lord. Must believe that he is, and then he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Remember Zacchaeus? The Bible says he climbed up into that tree, that sycamore tree, because he wanted to see who he was. He wanted to get a better vision, a better vantage point so that he could see who this was. But little did he know that Jesus was going to be coming home with him. And he was going to learn more about himself and about who Jesus was, and a lifelong experience of learning and knowing the Lord. Amen. That's one of the most wonderful things about serving the Lord a long, long time, like some of us have, is that we learn more and more about him. Through the twists and the turns and the ups and the downs of our life experiences, we learn that he is faithful. We learn that he is a faithful God, that he is a healer, that he's a deliverer. We learn who he is in so many wonderful ways. Amen. It's Paul in Philippians that said, that I might know him, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. The Apostle Paul wanted to know more. He had this experience on the road to Damascus, but now later on in Philippians, when he's writing to the Philippian Christians, he said, I still want to know more. I still want to know more. I still long to know more. And it's a lifelong pursuit, isn't it? Learning and growing and developing in our understanding of who he is, and that's the way it will be till the end of our days, to know more and more about him. Amen. The second question was, what wilt thou have me to do? What do you want me to do? You're talking about a man who already had a made-up mind. He was a man on a mission. He He knew what he was doing. I'm on the road to Damascus, and when I get through here, I'm going to keep going, destroying the church, persecuting Christians. He was a man on a mission, but now, in this encounter with Jesus, he doesn't know what to do. What do you want me to do? Lord, what would thou have me to do? True sign that someone has truly been converted, really born again, as they want to know more about Jesus and they want to know more about his will and his plan for their life. Amen. They want to know what? Lord, what do you want me to do? I tell you, we live in such a crazy upside down world right now. People don't seem to have any sense of direction about anything. They make decisions about their life and about their future and never even think to ask God. I've known of people that have moved to different places across the country, and they moved there because maybe they thought, well, there's a job opportunity here, but there's no church there. There's no fellowship there for them. They didn't even ask God about it. They just did it, and what a mistake it is. All of those questions, the spiritual aspect is the most important part of your life. People making decisions all the time and not even calling upon the Lord. Person that's really converted, really born again, is going to be asking the question, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What's the next step? What do you want me to do? And it doesn't stop. Just because you're a new Christian, all the days of your life, you are to be asking the Lord, Lord, this is a new day. This is a new week. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to face this week? Don't confuse God's will with what you want to do. Don't confuse God's will with what seems right. Ask God. Ask the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? And if I'm pursuing something that isn't your will, block it. Keep me from making that terrible blunder. Keep me always on track. Amen. So the apostle Saul, who became the apostle Paul, asked those two simple questions. Questions that we need to consider all the time. Who are you, Lord? Help me to learn more about you, Lord. Help me to gain in my knowledge of you. You can read the Bible. You can be in church. You can serve the Lord for 40, 50, 60 years, and there's still riches that you have not touched. Amen. Such wonderful things that you haven't heard or touched. I've told this before about many years ago. Many of you remember Brother Jack Stewart. Jack Stewart, who came here for a week or two in revival. Marsha and I were here. I was working a job, and we were helping with the young people here around the church. And I was kind of in a little bit of a crisis time. I'm talking just spiritually in my own heart. I was just struggling and trying to find, Lord, what do you want me to do? And Jack Stewart got up there every night with a word from the Lord. I don't know if it affected you the way it did me, but that week or two was pivotal for me. I'm telling you, it turned things around for me and set me in a direction that I needed to follow and to pursue. And then a few times I had the opportunity to just sit down and talk with him a little bit. I'm talking about Brother Stewart. And I mean, the guy was just walking with the Lord, walking so close with the Lord. And it was a life-changing encounter for me. Amen. We need to ask the Lord, Lord, I want to know you more. And Lord, what is your will? What do you want me to do? What would you have me to do? I don't think that Saul, even after he became the Apostle Paul, he never stopped pursuing that. He wanted to do the will of God, and he wanted to follow the will of God and the plan of God all the days of his life, and that should be our desire. It all starts with an encounter with Jesus. When I heard someone say, Nikki Cruz is 83 now, and this was Pastor Carter Conlon when I was listening to him. And he said, I just got back from Tanzania. You know where that is? That's a long way from here. I just got back from Tanzania preaching in a meeting with Nikki Cruz. And he's 83. And he's traveling all over the world preaching the gospel. And then he told a little bit about his conversion. And I thought, my, all the days of our life, that encounter with Jesus completely changes everything, turns everything around. Amen. And our prayer, we ought to be praying, Lord, make the First Pentecostal Church, and maybe the center aisle right down here, and that one there also, make that the Damascus Road, where they have a bright light, where they have a divine interruption, where they have the light of the truth shine on them, where there's a convicting work of the Spirit of God that brings them to that place that they'll say, Lord, I want to know you. Who are you, Lord? And what do you want me to do? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me? Let's pray, because we have so many people that are within our reach. So many people. Amen. On your job, in your neighborhood, in your community, the area where you live, lots of people. And they're like Saul was. Their minds are darkened. They're on the wrong direction. And they need a divine encounter with Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, Jesus' name. Lord, I just pray that there would be a work of the Holy Spirit every time we come into this building, Lord, where you are speaking and dealing with the hearts of those that don't know you. Lord, would you just reveal yourself to them? Lord, that there would be a divine interruption in the lives of people. They're on a course of destruction, but Lord, you can stop that and interrupt that and turn their life around and begin to move their life in the right direction. Oh, Lord, and let the light of your Holy Spirit shine upon them. That convicting power, Lord, deal with their hearts and let them know their need for you, we pray. Lord, and just reveal yourself with mighty power, we pray, every time we come into this building. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Lord bless you all tonight.